So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight in the name of Jesus. We're looking to you because you're the one that gives us grace. There's nothing so wonderful about ourselves except you're the wonderful one. So we stand and we pray the prayer of casting every care on you. Everything we care about, everything we're concerned about, if we're stressed out, if we're having troubles and trials, we just want to cast that over to you. You said casting all your cares upon yourself and yet you would take care of it because you love us and care for us. So we do that right now. We cast every care, everything that would stress us out, we throw that on you right now. Lord, take every one of them, but we can't handle it on our own. So we thank you for that. And so, Father, we also do this. We yield to you. We come to you and we yield our spirit, our soul and body. And just for this few minutes, let's hear your word and what you will do with that word. And so we're consecrating and dedicating our lives to you, to do your will and plant our lives into your kingdom. And so, Father, use us the way you want us. And so we thank you in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, not only do we pray the prayer of dedication and consecration, submission to you, to your plan and your will and your purpose, and then we also cast the prayer of casting your cares on you. We also pray the prayer of faith today. And we say that we're coming here to hear from you and that we'll come leave here changed, that something said and according to your word will change our hearts and minds. So we praise you today. And in advance, we praise you because we see it. So thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to our Bibles tonight. I'm not sure where we're going to end up with this, but I want to talk to you a little bit about the gifts of the Spirit. When we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, you know, that those traditionally, we look at the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. There's categorized for us or cataloged for us, enumerated for us, what we call, you know, at least some of us in the Pentecostal circle, we say they're called the gifts of the Spirit. And we don't have them in our resident within us and carry them around and use them whenever we want to. But these are gifts the Holy Spirit will manifest. So we say around here, these are nine ways the Holy Spirit will manifest himself. Because when you study closely, you only really see four gifts. The rest are special operations and manifestations of, the way that God will administrate by his Spirit and through humans. And God would use his people in this manner. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we want to talk about here, verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So this is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. This is at least two mentioned here, word of wisdom and word of knowledge. And let us just talk about, kind of preface this word of wisdom. This word of wisdom is not having profound knowledge because you studied many years in university or college or went to Bible school and you learned a lot of things about the Bible. This is not what that is all about. Word of wisdom is a word. This is the way it says, word of wisdom. In other words, you know, wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge correctly. And God will give you information so that you can use that information in order for you to, you know, be blessed, to profit. And so usually the word of wisdom has to do with future. It has to do with anything with future in your life, the word of wisdom, either present or future. And the word of knowledge in differentiation or in distinction, the word of knowledge has to do with information about something happened today or yesterday. In other words, you know, if God was working something right now and in your own life, if someone, let's say someone's having trouble here and, by the Holy Ghost, I got some scriptures in my heart and God says, I want you to go this direction, and someone was suffering from maybe depression, and I pull out a scripture that maybe ministers to depression, and then I identified, perhaps maybe identified that person and said, you know, God spoke to me and he sees you in your depression. And if you would do these certain things, you'll come out of your depression within a few days or hours, and things are going to change if you make this decision. So the word of wisdom really has to do with applying knowledge so that you can come out of something in the future or in a few hours, or future could mean a couple hours, or it could be a day, it could be a week. So it has to do with something like that so that you could come out of difficulty and avoid tragedy, come out of financial problems, come out of family issues, avoid death, premature death, accidents. So the word of knowledge is very useful in that way, because God could help you in a moment of time and change your life in a moment of time. It could help you and increase your lifespan and prosper you maybe financially and help your relationships get a whole lot better. Amen? But let me just say, the word of wisdom, wouldn't it be wonderful if I could just hand this out to everyone? God would say, I know, Miss Cindy, God will tell me, I just want to instruct you. Here's what God said to do. And Miss Anita, my wife, God says do this. And, you know, Caleb, here's the word for you. And here's the word for your wife. And the Lord says to give your dog away. Give it to me. And we're moving into another area. That would be called special faith. Because he wouldn't give it away, because you'd need extra faith for that. Right? Wouldn't be normal faith. And so that would be special faith. So I want to just explain that later on. So if I was speaking a word of wisdom, that would be information that would be more of revelation knowledge. In other words, information that, it would be prophetic in that it had instructional and future information. So that's a word of wisdom. It has to do with the future. It would instruct you to do something. You would have to act on it. So that would be something future. Wouldn't that be wonderful to get that? Right? Wouldn't it be comforting? You could get out of debt in a moment of time. And so we would all welcome that, wouldn't we? We would say, hey, I want one. I want a word of wisdom. So let's go to the prophet and say, can you give me a word of wisdom? And he says, go home, shut the door, close on Facebook forever, never watch television again, and read your Bible until you die, until you go home. You know, he says, I don't want that kind of one. I don't want that. But the Lord says, hey, then you'll be okay. So you know, It's something that God will give you something, an information. So say, let's go and talk about, first of all, so it has to do with the future. It has to do with revelation knowledge about the future and arranging your life so that if you do these things, this is going to happen. But if you don't do these things, the other thing will not happen, but something bad will happen. Maybe a tragedy will happen. So if you don't follow the word of wisdom and you just refuse to do it, bad things are going to happen. Because God's trying to get you out of a tragic event or life situation. So if we're looking at the word of knowledge, the word of knowledge would be different in that it has to do with the future instead of the past instead of the future. Because word of wisdom deals with the future, word of knowledge deals with the past and the present. So if I was operating under the word of knowledge and the gift of the Spirit came on me, then I would speak to you. Perhaps maybe I would know who you are, or I would say, somebody here, this is the way God told me, and I see you. Or I could actually get a vivid picture and say, hey, I saw you this afternoon. You were driving in your car, and you said these words, and this is how you were feeling. And the Lord wants to tell you that he sees that, and things are going to change. And so, I'm not giving you any instruction, but God wants to show you that he knows about that. Has anybody ever had a word of knowledge like that before in their lives? Anybody? Yeah. I've had a word of knowledge. I was thinking about something, God will intervene in people's lives. A friend of mine who was actually a minister, maybe you guys might recognize who he was. I was talking to him the other summer before. He said, you know what, something happened to me. I was going home one night, speeding really fast, driving so fast, it's nighttime and the moon's shining. And I heard this voice said to me, slow down. And then I slowed down really quickly and come over the hill, and there was a big moose right there. He said, if I didn't have that word of knowledge, word of wisdom, I would have died instantly. It's crazy, is it? And I had the same thing with my son, the same thing. You know, I pray for my kids. How many of you pray for your kids? Okay, once in a while, at least sometime. Sometimes you pray more because the Lord might move on you in a certain way to pray for somebody. And so you pray for them. You don't know why. Sometimes you pray in the spirit. You don't know why. So you pray. And he's telling me the same thing happened to him. Exactly the same thing as the other guy. And the word, and driving fast and middle of night and come around the corner. And the voice said, stop. And just out of the blue. And all of a sudden, this big vehicle went right across the road and would have got killed right there. But, you know, this is the way God operates. And if we continue to pray for people, they can avoid situations. And I was telling someone, or somebody was telling me at school, minister, man of God, said if we never pray the way we should, some people will never get healed, and some people will never get out of situations. So thank God for prayer, amen? And also thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. God will give gifts of the Spirit, and they'll operate through us, and we need to be open. And so I want to encourage people to be open to the Spirit, and there's things that I've done I never thought was going to be helpful to someone, but it helped somebody because I had an urge to speak a word or say something, but God was able to help somebody there in that situation. So the church needs to have a knowledge of how God will operate among his people or even through them. He has given us his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to be our helper, to be our guide, to be our teacher. As the Lord said, we need to depend on him and be open to his operations. Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit that he's here as our helper. And he calls him the comforter. And in that word here, it has seven Greek meanings. When it says comforter, there's seven words in the Greek that spell that out exactly, tells us. That word comforter in this verse of scripture here, if you'll turn to John chapter 14, verse 16 to 18, Jesus said, I will pray to Father, and he will give you another comforter. So Jesus is a comforter, and Holy Spirit is a comforter. He said, I'll pray to Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That word comforter, as I mentioned, has seven Greek meanings, and one of them is actually the intercessor, right? And another word is the one who comes alongside to help you. Is our helper. He comes alongside to help you. And also, he's our teacher, right? He's also our strengthener. If you're weak, he'll strengthen you. God will strengthen even your body. And when we need to be quickened. And he's our teacher, isn't he? He'll teach us things that we need to know. Not just, spiritual things that, we think are so way up there. But he wants to teach you things about maybe your personality, maybe the way your diet, the way you're eating, what to eat, what not to eat. He can teach you things like he told me, you know, thank God. The Lord told me, Roma, you got to change your diet. You've been eating too much sugar. And so I heard the Lord say this to me in my spirit, because I was drinking Cokes like they're all going, they're going out of style, just drinking them one after another. I'd eat all kinds of sweets and just go to the store and never if go by my favorite shop. I'd go stop there and get some sweet food, and I'll eat that. And the Lord said to me, you need to change your diet over and over and over. So I went to the doctor, my yearly thing, and the doctor says to me, you have to change your diet. The Lord says to me, you're not a diabetic, but your sugar is going way up high, so you're going to have to change your diet. You have to stop eating all this stuff, cut all the foods that cause sugar to go higher. So I stopped all the Coke and stopped going by these special places I went to, and it was very hard to do. How many people know it's hard to do? Yeah. So, but you have to do it, right? You got to do it. Otherwise, you're gonna avoid problems. So that's a word that the Lord gave me. So I don't know what He's giving you, but God could give you a word that will change your life. And what happens to people is that they're so busy being mad. Oh, this guy right there, he's getting mad. He's leaving. Some people are so emotional, they can't hear God. They get so naturally minded. If you get too over emotional, what's going on here? Amber Alert, okay. Ed, stop it. So sometimes, let's put up there for a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1 to 3, for a second, because things can get out of hand in our own lives that we tend to, we'll get off track. How many of you have ever been off track spiritually? Okay, we've all been there. I've been there. Just when I think I'm doing real good spiritually, right? I'm just going along the road, and I'm praising myself and wondering, man, am I ever doing good? Then I get knocked right off again. And I'm on my knees again, I'm humbled again, I get back up again, and I say, oh, Lord, I just messed up. And we all messed up, no matter how old we are, how long we've been around. And isn't it interesting that our spirituality has to be something we do every day? It's not something we just do Sunday, or just something I get spiritual at night and I pray, or just in the morning I'll pray, and then by the time I get down the road, I've lost my cool. You know, I become demonically possessed, and I'm mad at everybody. And so that can happen. Anybody can happen. Or you had a thought about the past that just gets you mad. You think about somebody, and you just get mad, you know, or an event or something. So let's go on here to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. We're going to read three verses of Scripture. Paul says this, and I, brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual. The word spiritual in that verse of Scripture, he's talking about mature people. Mature. This is very general word there, but he's also talking about mature people know this about the Holy Spirit. They know His ways of operation. You know, they know His character. God knows. You know God's character. But the word spiritual is an interesting word. You know, it doesn't mean you're just so spiritual that you left earth. We have to be spiritually alert. We live in two worlds, remember. We're born again, we're earthlings, but we're also spiritual people because our spirit is eternal, right? So we live here, and I can be talking to you right now, but also I could be having a conversation at the same time talking to you. God could be talking to me, and I could be talking to Him in my spirit. And you could be sitting there looking at me. God could be talking to you. I'm preaching to you. But you could, God could be talking to you, and you could have a conversation with God, and no one else would know it. You know, it's amazing how that happens, right? So he said, I could not speak to you. What could he not do? He could not speak to them. How many times someone couldn't speak to you? Right? Come on now. We're learning something. Sometimes people cannot talk to you for various reasons. Some people say, don't talk to me. I haven't had my coffee yet. Okay? So that kind of thing happens to people on a regular basis. Sometimes it lasts for a long time. You know, I used to be a person that if I got mad or got sad or got depressed, it would last a week, 2 weeks, even a month. I would just be down, or if I got guilty, I felt condemned, I'd be walking down like that for a long, long time. And I would just be into myself, I'd be into my emotions and what I'm thinking about. And I did not know how to get out of it. There's only one way to get out of it. You can't just receive prayer. You can't fast for it. You can't just go in a bush for a month and come back renewed. Only one way to get out of it, and that is to grow up. By feeding on the Word, changing our minds, and making good decisions. Now, I know you don't like that, but that's the truth. You know, we don't always like that, but it's good. So he said, I, brother, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal or natural people, even as babes in Christ. Now listen, you can only talk to babies to a certain level. Okay? You cannot have an intellectual discussion with a baby as you would someone who is 25 years old. Okay, he's talking about the same thing spiritually. God wants to talk to you. How many people know that Holy Spirit was the one who authored the Bible? And he was speaking through the Apostle Paul to these people. Same like he would do it today. God speaks to us, and God wants to talk to you, but he can't get through to you. Paul says, I can't get through to you. And there's a reason for it. Now listen to it. He said, you're still a baby. Listen to me. How do babies act most of the time? Eh? How does baby act? Eh? Doesn't he cry? What else? Whining, right? Eh? They want their bottle. They're wet. They're uncomfortable. Huh? Temper tantrum, maybe, you know, different things. So it's crazy if a baby is, you know, you look at toddler, you call them a baby, but they rule the house, right? So you got to watch that. So sometimes it happens. So in Christ, they're in Christ, all right. They're born again, all right. But they're unspiritual. How many people know that you could be born again, but yet still be natural? He says carnal. Carnal is someone who is just thinking about their feelings, what they want to do, and what they think about things. I don't care what you think. I know what I'm thinking about. I want to let you know what I think. Let me tell you what I think. You know, and so that's a baby. Everybody say baby. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be a baby. I know. You got to tell yourself that. It's true. This is very true. How many people is this talking to you? Right? I mean, just a little bit of scripture. We're talking about gifts of the Spirit, but this is a stopover. Okay? But this is true. So he said, even as babies in Christ, let's go to verse 2. He said, I fed you with milk and not with meat. A baby Christian or a brand new Christian, you could be teaching a subject and they'll be sitting there like this in church and they don't know what you're talking about. They would say, this does not apply to me. Why am I here in the first place? I'm wasting my time. He doesn't understand, right? But it's good that they're there. They're getting something. You know, and notice that if you brought little children to church, they're learning something. And you come home to your home with your kids, and they'll repeat something they heard. Right? One time my daughter said she was working at Movati, and she worked with those little kids. She was, she was a caretaker or something like that. And the kids come in, man, they're acting like dad. Like, F this, F that. Come on now. People say, well, how did they get that? Well, they're learning that from somebody. So when you go home from church, you got your little kid in your church, they're getting something. I said they're getting something, right? So you might not understand right away, but somewhere along the line, that word is planted in their heart, and they're there. So he says, hitherto, up until now, you're not able to bear it. They're still not able to bear it. Meat. God wanted to give them something more, but they're still there. And he said, neither are you able. You're not able to yet. In verse 2, we'll see the reason why. He says, verse 3, excuse me, for you are yet carnal, for there is among you, whereas there is among you envying. How many people know what envying means? Okay. Strife, divisions. Are you not carnal or walk as men? Let's pick it up in the Amplified Classical version of the Bible, because it gives you key scriptures and brings out the words really clear. For you are unspiritual, still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh. You know the nature of the flesh, right? We're just living just how we feel, right? The flesh under the control of ordinary impulses. Like, you know what, if you're talking to a baby or a young person, no, I'm hungry. No, we're talking about something here, important. No, I want to drink coffee. I want to go for a smoke right now. Right? I got to eat. Our natural impulses are driving us. When I smoke cigarettes, I was going to say I quit this morning, but when I used to smoke, if somebody invited me to their house, I was first to check it out. They don't smoke cigarettes, and they don't like cigarettes, so I can't go to your house. So it controlled my life to a certain degree, where I went, because I couldn't smoke. So you could apply that knowledge to other things. So it does control your life if you're fleshly, under the control of ordinary impulses. That's the flesh. For as long as there is envying and jealousy, wrangling, those are, you know, issues that you have in your mind, okay, and your emotions. There are envying, jealousy, wrangling, and factions. Are you unspiritual and flesh, behaving yourself after a human standard, and act like mere unchanged men? Believe the bet. In other words, let's put it another way. Okay. Well, it's people, right? Really talking about people, you know. In other words, you know, God wants to talk to you. We're talking about the Holy Spirit as our teacher. And he wants to talk to you about your diet. He wants to talk to you about your behavior. He wants to talk to you about your relationships. He wants to talk to you about your money. And whatever he wants to talk to you about. Your thinking. It's not always you and your way, your thinking way. So now watch this. He wants to talk to you, but you're so engrossed in your self-centeredness, in your own ways, that God's having a hard time to get to you. But he wants to change your life. He wants you to change your life so that he knows in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, if you keep going the same direction, it's going to get worse, whatever it is. Okay, it's over now. So anyway, verse 17, we were on John 14 and 17. So the Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So he's here, he's with us, he's in us right now. Even the Spirit of truth. How many people know that the truth is the truth? Okay, you can't avoid it. You know, we have to hear it, especially with, you know, you can't just tell the truth to anybody, right? Can you just walk down and tell somebody, hey, you know what, you're fat? Right? You can't just say that. I couldn't say that to my wife. Only if she allows me to. She said, honey, how does dress look on you? Oh, it's wonderful, honey. How do I look fat in it? It does look a little bit small. Right? Some of you know what I'm saying? Ed, do you ever get that way? No. You got to watch that. So the truth. So the Lord told me, listen, you're having too much sugar. Don't eat sugar like you've been. It's the truth, right? When I first entered AA, I learned something there. They told me to, you have to be honest. How many people know if you're not honest, you don't get very far? So honesty is a good quality to have, and just be honest about yourself. So I had to be honest about it, and man, it hurt a lot of times. Hearing my sponsor tell me things, I just didn't like it. It hurt. And so, but anyway, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither known him, but you know him, he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So he is here today, right now. The church is equipped with the gifts of the Spirit so that we can receive comfort. We should learn that he will manifest himself through us and for us to be a blessing to somebody. God wants us to be a blessing. Knowing this vital information can, not knowing this vital information can hinder us from being an effective worker for God and can be an offense even, maybe. And because, if we don't learn how to do these things, we can cause fear in people and misuse. If we say, I want to prophesy to you, and then you prophesy something horrible to somebody, and you scared them. That's not the way it's supposed to work. Scare people. I didn't understand about the gifts of the Spirit before, and I thought, that gifts of the Spirit are there to whip people in shape. And so that's what happens. I used to see that actually happening in church before, because somebody would get, hey, the Lord says, he's going to kill you. He's going to break your leg. So not that bad, but it was like that almost in my mind. So the word of knowledge, again, by definition, before studying any subject, we need to know first what something is, what it's not, and define it. So the word of knowledge is a supernatural, as definition, by a supernatural fragmentary portion of information passed down to us by God himself through his Spirit concerning events, people, and things. So Holy Spirit is going to give you stuff, information about people, events, and things happening in the future. It's not the word of knowledge. It's not profound knowledge, as we mentioned earlier. So let's read here. It says, for one is given by the Spirit, verse 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 8, by the Spirit, a word of wisdom, to another, the word of knowledge, and by the same Spirit, said. So Paul's was responding, when he wrote this letter, he was responding to the church there because they were asking him questions about the gifts, about how the Holy Spirit would. So they had asked him these questions about some things concerning spiritual matters in the church, and we should be concerned about the operation of the Spirit because we want to cooperate and be a blessing and receive from God. So if we're too, sometimes if we're too involved in our natural life, we can miss God because God wants to show you something. I want to prepare you. Maybe he wants you to pray a little bit more, and so on. So 12:1 says this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you to be ignorant. Okay, so God does not want us to be misinformed or uninformed or lacking knowledge in these areas. So this letter is given to the church, which is for us today, so that we can have information, that God wants you to have information. He wants you to know these things so that you'll be blessed and you'll be much more enriched when we know these kinds of things that are real. For instance, one day I was telling you last time, I went to a Prince Arthur Hotel. A man says to me, come with me to the Prince Arthur Hotel. We're having a breakfast in the morning. And so there's a man there. He's going to be a speaker for the evening service. And we're having, it's a men's meeting. So would you please come? I said, okay, I'll come. I wasn't really wanting to come. So I ended up going to that dinner with these men. And the guest speaker happened to be there. And we said, let's pray for our food. So he bowed our heads. And then he stopped. And he pointed at me. And he spoke this to me. He spoke some words to me. He says, this is happening in your life. And this is going on, that's going on. I said, how did that guy know all this stuff about me? Did you tell him about that stuff? But it was a word of knowledge. So that gave me comfort that God was real. Because that's when you read those chapters, he says that gives you comfort that God is real, right? And so, and I know that I said, God's talking to me, and he knows about my life. So right now, God knows everybody's life right now. He knows about what you're going through, and he wants to prevent anything bad happening to you in your life. And you don't need the gifts of the Spirit for Holy Spirit to instruct you. You can always expect Holy Spirit to talk to you, not just get a word of knowledge, not just get a word of wisdom. So you, if you read the Bible and you pray and you fellowship with the Spirit, he's going to talk to you. He's going to show you things. Is that working okay with you guys? Is that okay? Yeah. So I'm sure, you know, it says here. So, you know that you were Gentiles, carried unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. So if you didn't understand this, these people there were worshiping idols. They had a spiritual lifestyle that was a whole lot different than what Jesus was bringing them. And so they had idol worship and they had spiritual things happening. How many people know this guy, something spiritual is going on? You heard a voice, you saw a vision, it doesn't mean it's God. So just everything that happens spiritually doesn't mean it's God. You know, so there are other spirits besides God. That's why you need discernment, right? So it's important to have discernment. So wherefore I give to you to understand that no man speaks by the Spirit of God, called Jesus accursed, and that no man can speak and say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. In other words, when Jesus comes, when someone's speaking to you and operating under the gifts of the Spirit, it's always making and glorifying Jesus. And there's nothing scary about it and nothing, you know. I remember years ago, they said, you know, you better come to this place over here, this town, and there's some markings on the door over here, and it looks like Jesus. It's a sign that something's happening. So everybody, all from my area, everybody's driving down there looking at this. Is that Jesus on there? Is that, you know, what's he saying to us? Well, you know, I don't know. Does Jesus do that? I don't know. I don't see it in the Bible. But it scared all of us. Anyway, so there, it says here, there are diversities of gifts. Verse 4. Diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, verse 6, but the same God which worketh all in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So verse 4 says, diversities of gifts, number 1. Number 2, the differences of administrations. And number 6, diversities of operations. He's talking about the Holy Spirit working through a life of a person through their spirit. And then verse 8 says this, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. So verse 9, it says one is given faith. This is not talking about our general faith. This is talking about special faith. Everybody say special faith. So special faith is something that you get that comes on you that makes you that you can just believe super things, right? Like if you were to believe in a miracle, if you had to do a miracle and God was there, he'd have to give you a special faith to believe for it, right? So you don't need to have special faith to go down the store here and buy milk. You can just go and get it, right? But if there's no milk in the city, you know, and if you could believe, I mean, if God says there's milk there, go somewhere, and you'd have to have special faith. Like, say, for instance, I told you about your dog. I said, you have a dog, and the Lord says to you, you have to give that dog to me. So they're not going to give me their dog, right? I'd have to have special faith to get that dog from them. Right? Right? I have to believe that they're going to give me that dog, which it wouldn't happen. I mean, because I don't want their dog, right? So I got enough trouble with dogs already. So, right? I want a bulldog, like a real big bulldog. I want that kind. I told my wife what kind I want. So if anybody has a bulldog, like a real bulldog, I want it. I'll trade you 2 for 1. Okay, so this, it says faith. Actually, in the Greek, it says special faith. So this is a gift of the Spirit to believe for incredible things. This is not ordinary faith. I say, yeah, I'm going to believe for a new job, you know. So if you're believing for something out of the ordinary, then that's what you need. If it's ordinary, you can believe God. Yeah, I can believe something. I can believe. I use my faith for something. I use my faith. Oh, I broke my arm here. I believe I can get healed quicker. Well, that's you can believe, right? So if you had, say for instance, I'm praying for you. You had one eyeball out, and you had a glass eye. You could receive special faith to see out of it. There's people like that are actually, it's called an ongoing miracle. It's an ongoing miracle. And they tested it even. They say, okay, we're going to block that good eye. Look out of that eye, that eyeball, that glass eye. And they can see real good. And that's recorded. It's been recorded medically that this happened to people. We've had things where people said that you have a brand new heart. Before, your heart was totally gone. It's you got a brand new heart. And that's a miracle. That's a humongous miracle. And the gift of faith to believe something for that. But we're not, you know. So another working of miracles. Or it's called wonder-working miracles. You know, to work a miracle, you also need special faith for that. So these work together. These gifts don't just operate separately. They all work together the 9 ways. They work together to make something happen. Yeah? So when Jesus walked this world, he was an ordinary man. And he had to be anointed. And after he was anointed, the gifts start operating. Then he could know certain things at certain times when the Holy Spirit showed him. He didn't know everything. Like a prophet doesn't know everything. But if you ever get around a prophet, you kind of feel strange because they know certain things. Right? In the First Kings, remember that guy named Gehazi? Gehazi. He worked in the ministry with the prophet Elisha, and the Bible says that this man was it Elisha? Elisha, yeah, Elisha, chapter 5, I think, around there. He went up to heal somebody who had leprosy. How many people know if you had real leprosy back then, or even today, you need a special faith gifts of miracle. You don't just put a cream on it, it's going to go away. You need special. Everybody say special. So some things you need is special, so you have to be open to it. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, listen, you need to be open to it. Right? Let me tell you. You need special faith to get into a ministry. You can't just say, hey, today I think I'll just be a pastor. I'm going to be an apostle. No, you need special faith to believe that. And you need special faith to operate in it. And you just can't work a miracle. You need God to do something in your life. It's all supernatural. Right? So where's he going with this? We don't know yet. I told you this was a miracle because, you know, the Lord was doing something. Right? So miracles, it says working miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, all these work at one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So in other words, the Lord could divide this manifestation or one of these nine manifestations in your life. And if it does happen, and can it happen to you? Huh? Can it happen? Or you say, well, no, I don't think it's going to happen to me. Well, it could. It says, dividing to every man or every person as God decides he's going to do. It could happen to you. But also, on the other hand, it may never happen to you. Yeah? Some people never, it'll never happen. They'll never have a manifestation of the Spirit. But it can happen. So we have to be open to it and allow the Spirit of God to do move through our lives. And I've had different things happen to my life where gift of faith came in my life and I was able to believe something incredible and speak even things into people's lives and see miracles happen in my life and the life of some other people and be a blessing. It can happen to you tonight, right now. Before you go home tonight, something incredible could happen in your life. Like I said, Gehazi. Okay, so Gehazi. This man, Elisha, went up to this. What was that guy's name? Naaman. I think it's your cousin, right? So anyway, he went up to Naaman's house. And do we have the scripture? Can we? Do we have? I think it's 1 Kings, 2 Kings chapter. Is it 5 or 4? Anyways, we'll find it in a moment. While they're finding it for me, the right scripture. He goes up to this guy. 2 Kings 5. See, something's working right. So this is everybody say a miracle. So a miracle. So now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, he was a great man with his master, honorable because. By him, the Lord had given deliverance to Assyria. He was a great guy, a fighter, and was always a man in valor, but he was a leper. He says, you're a fighter man. You're just a good man to fight battles, but you got some skin problems. And all the men are scared of you. They don't want to use your blankets and stuff. So they don't want to eat with him and stuff there. I mean, of course, if you had a guy like that in your house, I mean, what would you do? You just isolate him. He's supposed to be isolated. I don't know why he's in the army. Well, he's not in the... Yeah, okay, so good. Let's forget about him for a while. We'll move on. We'll come back to him, but he's important. Verse 2, the Assyrians had gone out by companies and brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on them. They took this little Israelite girl, brought him there. She became a maid, and she knew about the prophet. Amen? She knew in my country, in my homeland, there's a man who could do miracles. So she told him. And move on to verse 8. She said to her mistress, would the Lord my God were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. So she knew this prophet had a miracle ministry of healing. Isn't that wonderful? So very often prophets also have the working of miracles, the healing ministry in their life. So that's what happens there. Verse 4, it says that, and one went in and told the Lord, saying, thus, and the maid that is of the land of Israel, and the king of Israel, go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. That's a lot of blessing, isn't it? The rich king. Praise God. And he wants to, be a blessing here. Verse 7. And verse 7 says, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, and he rent his clothes or tore his clothes, and he said, am I a God to kill, to make alive? And does this man thus send me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore consider I, pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. So he's thinking, hey, this is a setup, man. They want me to fight, and they want me to you know, fail here so that they just want to pick a fight with me. Okay? I'm not a miracle worker. So then he goes on in verse 8. He was making some assumptions. It was so that when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes for $2.99 a dozen. No. He said in there, he sent to the king saying, "Wherefore thou hast rent thy clothes? Let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Okay. So Naaman came with the horses and with the chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and the flesh shall come again." So the man knew. Okay, so what's happening here? If you don't understand, I said to you, there's a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, miracles, they all operate together. And faith, they all operate together, not just separately. Okay, so this miracle man of God, or this wonder-working guy, he knew by the Spirit of God what's going to happen next. So he's not going to tell the king and all everybody else to do something that he doesn't know is going to happen. They'd kill him. Right? Wouldn't you be more afraid of a guy who says, you know, "Listen, I'm going to tell you this is going to happen." And it happens. You say, "Oh, man, stay away from me." Right? But if you know, it could work the other way around, right? If you say something doesn't happen, you're not a problem. We're going to come and kill you. So this is the kind of thing he's facing up here. So, and he's telling him, "Go wash in a Jordan 7 times. Hey, isn't this crazy? Telling somebody to do something? This is not a miracle that happened. I'm jumping in the water 7 times and I'll be clear of my..." What kind of water do they have here? This is incredible. So in verse 10, did I finish this one? But Naaman was wroth, angry, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out and stand here and call upon the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Then this guy gets mad. He's mad now. And are not Elna and Parfar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. And the servants came near and spake unto him. He said, "My father, if the prophet would bid thee to do great things, wouldst thou have done it? How much more rather that he said to thee, 'Wash and be clean.'" Verse 30, he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh became like that of flesh of a child, and he was clean. That's a miracle. Okay? So, verse 15, and he returned to the man of God, and he, and Allah's company came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no other God, no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take the blessing that I serve." Now, he had all this stuff, remember? He's going to pay for this. He's so happy, "I want to pay for this thing. I'm so happy, I want to give money." Watch this. And he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will not receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. This is good instructional for people in ministry. And he said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burdened to the earth? For thy servant will henceforth neither offer burnt offerings nor sacrifice unto God, but unto the Lord." Verse 18 says, "The thing that the Lord had pardoned thy servant, that when thy master had gone into the house of Raymond to worship there," blah, 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 blah. And on and on and on. Verse 19, it said, "Go in peace." So he departed. And then verse 20 says, "But Gehazi," everybody say, "But Gehazi, ba ba ba." Okay, I'm speaking Cree now. Listen. "But the Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said, 'Behold, thy master had spared Nathan, thy servant, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him.'" So he wants the blessing. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and Naaman saw him running after him, and he lighted down in the chariot to meet him, and he said, "Is all well? Is all well?" He said, "Well, yeah, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, 'Behold, even now there be coming from the mount of Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray, the talent of silver and 2 changes of raiment.'" Now he's lying. Okay? So just stop. I'm going to stop here. So he lies. The man gives him the money or gives him the stuff. So he goes home. I don't know. He hides it under his bed or something. And the prophet said to him, where'd you go? He said, I didn't go anywhere. And he's lying, right? He's lying. The prophet said, where'd you go? He said, I never went anywhere. He said, is it time to receive gifts and all that stuff? And how did he know that? Well, word of wisdom, discerning spirit. I mean, that's there. He saw that. He saw him. He said, didn't I see you doing this? So here's where sometimes we think that, you know, the prophets, they know everything. But they don't. They only know when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And Jesus, the same thing. A lot of people think that Jesus, when he walked the world, he read everybody's mouth all the time and knows everything. No, he only knew what the Spirit of God told him. He said that himself. He said, I only know what the Holy Spirit tells me. And thank God, we have to quit. Let's all stand. I know I went 20 minutes and 21 minutes, but God will multiply. So the word of knowledge, let it be given to you. The word of wisdom, for sure. So that God will change your destiny, and don't be so bothered emotionally that you can't hear from God. We're going to repent. Father, we thank you. We laying down our lives as we prayed earlier, that some way, somehow, there's somebody here that needed to hear this message. They needed to change their behavior, change their lives, and we know that they can't do it alone. It takes the grace of God. It takes faith to receive that. You said in your word, in the second chapter of Philippians, verse 13, God, it is you by your grace, working in our spirits, working in our hearts, giving us the desire to follow you and giving us the ability to do whatever you ask us to do. And so right now, Lord, by the Spirit of God, may every person here make that adjustment. By the Spirit of God, the living God, they say, Lord, as I prayed earlier, I yield my spirit. Wonderful Holy Spirit, I yield my vessel to you. I give you my body. I give you my mind. I yield my spirit to do whatever you said to do. May I be a blessing. And may I be blessed to be a blessing in this endeavor, to serve you in whatever way you want me to. And so, Father, I give you praise, and I thank you for all the gifts that are manifested in your church. Thank you, Lord. I just see someone right now being blessed. The Spirit of God is blessing you. The Spirit of God just went through your whole system, filled you. Hallelujah. This will be a mark for you today. Not only that all is well with you, but God has in store all the riches that you ever desire and all the plans and purposes that he has made before you were ever born shall and will come to pass if you will receive instruction, if you will obey God, if you will obey him with all your might. You will see the change. You will see the miraculous. You will see the supernatural. You will see the power of God in operation. Thank you. And your knees will be stronger. And your heart will pump perfectly normal. Shikalama sombo bolidisi in the disi makobra in the city amamasoto korabasha. So do not fear what people will say or do, because I am the God that watches over you, and I'm taking care of you. I've always been there, and I'll be there for every part of your life. you will have peace and enjoy the good things of life that I've made available for you. Just begin to believe in my word. Believe that as Jesus was anointed by the Spirit of God, and as Paul was anointed by the Spirit of God, I anoint men and women to serve me, to stand in the office, to stand in the ministry, to stand in the service of Almighty God. If you'll yield your spirit, you will see supremely the things that I've ordained for your life. There'll be joy, not only in your life, but those that are on you, and then recognize the Spirit of the living God is on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If somebody is being touched right now in your ears, both ears are popping. In the name of Jesus, I thank God for the miracle working power of God. I see somebody's back right now, your muscles in your back, both sides of your back. Be healed in the name of Jesus right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, play by shiti. Makaradasa soto orbarakishitema. Niniskisimba babadaska sabeishini. Thank you for opening up ears. Eardrums be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil tell you that you've missed it. Go ahead and turn on. Turn on the faith. Turn on the faith and begin to walk with him. And say, I'm not condemned. I'm not walking under condemnation anymore. I'm not walking under guilt because I'm forgiven. I'm free. Thank you. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, yes, sir. Ha, ha. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Mama Lakishi de Eba Soto, Koraba Dideshi, Mini Dikisu Soma. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation. Thank you, Lord.